as you look back over what happened to you, for you, this year, there may be a temptation for you to reflect to the point of resentment. And there may be some people this year who were supposed to support you. And maybe you expected them to be standing by you, but you find yourself a little more lonely at the end of this year. Even going through your photo stream on your phone, I found can be dangerous, because some of the people that I'm scrolling through that I felt one way about in January, I feel differently about them in December, because... And you have to be careful. You have to be careful. If you want to go back on the timeline, you may feel some things. And when you reflect, it's important that you avoid resentment on one level. But I think also you should be very careful when you reflect, because not only can you begin to resent opportunities that you didn't get, or maybe ways that you were not acknowledged, which can bring you into a state of resentment, but you also got to watch out for regret. This is like the devil's R&R, you know, regret and resentment. Now, they're really the same. Regret is just resentment turned inward. It's when you take a look at where you said you would be on December 31st, 2017, and the scale says something different than your list said 365 ago. Or it can be when you are thinking about all of the dance recitals that you missed. Or it could be that you think about how you promised to be more faithful in church this year, but you didn't quite make it happen, but you did get here tonight. High five your neighbor and say, you're ahead for 2018. You already got a gold star on the Jesus Christ chart. Now, there is a type of reflection that leads to regret. There is a type of reflection that leads to resentment. But the right kind of reflection will lead to resolution. Yes, sir. So good. The right kind of reflection, as demonstrated by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, from, I believe, a Roman prison cell, which was really a rented home where he was allowed to see people. But remember now, he's been waiting for a trial for maybe as much as 4 years. And still, after 4 years of bouncing around from prelate to prelate, from governor to governor, there's still no resolution for his situation. Yet Paul exhibits the kind of attitude in Philippians chapter 1 that I am striving to see manifest in my own life. As he reflects, he demonstrates that your spirit does not have to be a reflection of your situation. What I'm trying to say is, you do not have to allow your outlook to be defined by the events that brought you to this point. Paul proves it clearly in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through 20. And really, I see him in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 20, correcting some of the rumors that have apparently begun to surface in Ephesus about his situation. I don't mean to say Ephesus, I mean to say Philippi, but really everybody, every church that Paul started has started to talk a little bit. I can almost hear them whispering behind his back. Did you hear about Paul? He still hasn't had his trial yet. Looks like his ministry is over. It's horrible what happened to Paul. He was only trying to help, but you know, he probably pushed it a little too far. He kept on preaching to the Gentiles, and the Jews told him to stop it, but he wouldn't stop it. And then he told those Gentiles they didn't have to get circumcised. And well, you know, he probably, if he would have toned it down a little bit, you know, if he wouldn't have appealed his case to Caesar, he might have got set free by Festus. Did you hear what happened to Paul? It's horrible what happened to Paul. Terrible thing what happened to Paul. You can almost hear them whispering from the church at Philippi, which Paul founded a decade earlier, but now some things have happened. And not only has time passed, but it seems that Paul's ministry has come to a grinding halt. There is to be no more movement during this period. And I can almost hear the whispers from the church at Philippi when Paul speaks up in verse 12 and says, now I want you to know brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually, somebody say actually. Actually, I know what you heard, but forget what you heard for a minute. Let me set the record straight. And you know, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying tonight that before you leave 2017, you need to set the record straight about what really went down this year. You need to set the record straight. As a matter of fact, we came tonight to give God praise for what He brought us through. And we came tonight to make our commitment to Him that we will follow Him throughout the course of this year, no matter how the road might wind or where it might lead us. But we also came to set the record straight, to let the devil know that everything we went through this year was just proof of the promise and the power and the unlimited potential of the ever-ruling, ever-reigning, ever-present God. Tell your neighbor, I came to set the record straight. I don't know what you heard. You might have heard that I was on the way down, but I came to set the record straight. There's some things I need you to know before January hits my watch. So one thing I'm trying to do before I make a New Year's resolution, I want to make a few revisions. Paul wants to make a few revisions. Let's talk for a moment about the revision. The revision. I've noticed a lot of times that when we write a song or when I write a sermon, the magic happens not on the first draft or the second draft or the third draft, but it is in the revision that the potential of the song or the sermon is revealed. Oh, I love that, because when I think about it, I think that maybe there are some things this year where I'm getting the story wrong and I need to see it differently. It's not looking good for Paul. It doesn't look like he's going to make it. It doesn't look like, it's embarrassing when your pastor is in jail, I would imagine. Hope you never have to find out firsthand what that's like. Not planning that. But remember now, he's been driven across the Adriatic Sea, 3 months in Malta. Now he finds himself in Rome and he's still waiting and the situation is still unresolved. But he's not. Resolution is not an event. It is a decision. And as Paul reflects from Rome and looks at what's happening, he understands that, well, sometimes people will misjudge your situation because they do not know the backstory. And so he is informing them. He's taking the opportunity to inform them about what is apparent and what is actual. I love it because sometimes what's happening on the surface is not the real story. So Paul is focusing here not on what is happening to him, but what is happening through him. The story that you tell is dependent on the point of view that you have. And so while others are looking at Paul's life from the outside in, they are judging him a failure. While others are looking at Paul's life from the outside in, they're saying he's going down now. While others are looking at Paul's life from the outside in, far away from Philippi, across the Mediterranean Sea, it doesn't look good for Paul. But Paul is not looking at his situation from the outside in. He's looking at his situation from the inside out. Now, the inside is where the Spirit of God lives. If the Spirit of God lives in you, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So it means that no matter what resistance is against me, somebody shout, I'm glad it happened. There are some things that I went through this year that I didn't like. There are some things that I went through this year that hurt. And I'm not saying that they didn't hurt. They hurt. I'm not saying that they didn't hurt. They hurt like hell. You should have left your kids home. It's New Year's Eve. I'm not saying that I would have chosen them if I had had the opportunity. But now that I've been through it,
there is something that I learned through what I went through that made me who I am, and I'm standing today. Y'all didn't come to give him praise. Somebody shout, I'm glad. They probably felt sorry for Paul. They were probably signing petitions to their senators to get Paul out of prison. Paul said, stop all your petitions. Don't feel sorry for me. I know I got these chains on me, but I'm freer than all y'all. Now, I didn't like it at the time. I didn't get it at the time. It didn't make sense while I was in it. But I've been here long enough to recognize. And I've been through enough storms to know. And I held on to the planks of the boat and made it across the sea and saw God's
provision at a level that now I can tell you that actually God is up to something. Paul says, I'm not a hostage. I want you to say that, because this is a revision that you need to make, because some of you have made yourself the victim of 2017. And we need to make some revisions, because you cannot leave 2017 like a victim and go into 2018 like a victor. And you've got to make a decision tonight. You've got to revise some of the stuff in your story and take a cue from Paul. I was confused at first because he said, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me, but then he gives no detail about what actually happened to him. All he talks about is what God did through the events that he could have been bitter about. I'm not a hostage. Don't feel sorry for me. In fact, Paul might say, I always wanted to go to Rome to preach the gospel. I didn't think I'd have to drag these shackles through the streets to do it. But it actually works out pretty good, because all these guards have to listen to me preach anytime I open my mouth. I'm not a hostage. I'm not a hostage to your opinions. I'm not a hostage to what went wrong. I hear Paul saying, all the way from Rome, shouting across the Mediterranean Sea, shouting all the way into 2017, just before midnight Eastern Standard Time, shouting to Elevation Blakeney, shouting to University City, shouting to Lake Norman, shouting to the overflow in Ballantyne, shouting to the EFAM watching online. I hear God shouting into your iPhone 10. I hear this message. I hear Paul saying, I'm not a hostage. I'm a weapon. See, I made up my mind. Anywhere God puts me, there's a purpose for it. I'm not a hostage. You better shove your neighbor right now. Say, I'm not a hostage. I'm a weapon formed in the fire, held steady in the hand of God, and aimed at the darkness. Somebody shout, I'm a weapon. Watch out, devil. Every time you cut on me, you make me sharper. I'm loaded now. I'm focused now. I'm aimed now. I know what matters now. Feels like the Spirit of God is breaking out on this side of the church. Somebody thought you were trapped. It's not you that's trapped. It's the enemy. You got the devil on the run. Don't you back down. Let's set the record straight. I came here in chains, but because I'm here, somebody's gonna get set free. God put me here. Not Caesar. Not Festus. It wasn't the boat that brought me here. It was the purpose of God.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.